power also exalted Jesus Christ far above all created being, and there will be no exceptions. No exceptions. So can't nobody run ahead Christ? Can't nobody say they Christ? They can, no exceptions. Amen. So in addition, Christ being far above things, God has also put all created things under Christ's feet. Hallelujah. Now this signifies universal dominion, not only over men and angels, but over all the creation. So the Apostle Paul also wrote in Hebrews 2:8 that at the present time, we don't see what Christ is under. Everything is under his feet. But God does not change his mind. And he said that he will have universal dominion, and it belongs to Christ. So it's because he's not exercising in this right now, it will be. Because of sin, he can't exercise in it. So when sin is over, when everything has been done in the world, then he will take control of everything. Amen? That's why men still rebel against him. That not only rebel, they reject him, they deny him, and they resist him. But God has decreed, not man, but God has decreed that his son will have dominion. And that's the end of the story. Amen? And what follows this reality is that it's so incredible, because the one whose nail-scarred hands, the very one talking about Jesus Christ, he the one that's going to have sovereign authority over all the universe. Amen? The one that hung and died for us. The one that was beaten for us. The one that was led to the cross. He the one going to be in control. Amen? And God himself has given him, Jesus Christ, to the church. Hallelujah. And then Paul also makes a startling revelation concerning the mystery of God's will. Step by step, God has been leading us to this important information. God has been describing it, the resurrection, the glorification, and the dominion of Christ. Meaning God had appointed. Muhammad didn't appoint it. Pastor didn't appoint it. Bishop didn't appoint it, but God appointed Jesus as ruler over all things for the benefit. Now he turned back around and say it was not for God's sake, it was for the benefit of the church. Hallelujah. So without Christ being with the church, then we could not have received the benefits that he had for us. Amen. So Jesus was divinely appointed ruler over the entire universe. You know, when God divinely appoint you, divinely set you in position, God did it. And see, when God do it, it's no replacing it. See, men have a tendency of saying, well, you know, you're going to be a mighty preacher, or you're going to be a bishop, or whatever man say. But did God say it? See, we listen to what man say, but God, what did you say about the situation? Amen? So we need to listen. God, what is it that you saying about it? How do you want me to handle that? How do you want me to be led, walk, or be directed? Amen? Because if man tell us, he's going to tell us what he think or what he want to do. Amen? So also in verse 22, we can read this verse carelessly, and we may not understand it to say that Christ is the head of the church. Why, there is also true. It's true. He is the head of the church. But this verse also says a lot more. It says that the church is so closely associated with Christ, who has given universal power. And in verse 21, if you look back, we learn that Christ is far above every creature in heaven and in earth, in this age and in the age to come. And in the first part of verse 22, we see that all things as well as created things are under Christ's feet. And that the church will share his rule, and the rest of the creation will be under his rule. Look how God putting that in order. He said that the church gonna rule right along with him. Amen. But every other creation gonna be under that. Hallelujah. So that's another thing we can shout about. We don't have to be worried about being judged or nothing else after this, because we're going to help him rule. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. But in verse 23, we learn how close the relationship is between the church and Christ. Amen? Because in verse 23, it explains verse 22, that God made Christ head over all things for the benefit of the church. That means it's an intimate relationship. That's when we say, yes, we come up here, we get saved, we accepted the Lord Jesus as our Savior, but it does not stop there. The intimate relationship brings you to a relationship that says, not my will, but let your will be done in my life. That intimate relationship will say that I obey you no matter what. That intimate relationship will say that, Lord, I don't like this, but I'm doing it because you said so. Amen? So that's what an intimate relationship is. It's way more than just say, I accept you, Lord Jesus, as my Savior. Hallelujah. And also, we not only accept him as our Savior, but we even have the character of him. We always talk about the character. It's not talking about our character. It's about his character that it lives within us. Amen? And also, it says that she, talking about the church, is considered as his own body. So if it is for her, talking about her, the church, good that Christ is divinely appointed ruler of the universe. So the church ought to be jumping and shouting that, you know, it's not left up to me whether or not I'm getting to heaven. We got somebody to help us get to heaven, amen? We got somebody to that's living in the side of us that's going to lead and direct us. We got somebody that when we are down and out, that he can lift us up because we allow him to live inside of us. We got somebody that when we cried, the Holy Spirit wiped the tears from our eyes. We got somebody that live inside of us. When we sick, we know that by his stripes we already healed. That's the Holy Spirit. When I'm weak, the Holy Spirit make me strong. When my mind is all messed up, he regulate this mind. Because if I wait on Reverend Herman to regulate my mind, it ain't going to get right. But I say, Lord, I need help with my mind. I'm thinking this way, but God, I know you thinking something different. So I want to think like you think. Hallelujah. So when he talk about this universal church, he's not talking about denominations. He's talking about the believers. See, we're going to get lost at the end because we feel like any day I'm going to heaven, Providence going to hell. But see, one good thing about it, he didn't say no church. He said the believers, those that believe in Jesus Christ, those that believe that the Holy Ghost live inside of them, that rules abide in them. That's what he says. Amen. Those are the only ones going to see the eternal life. Amen. And so it is the fullness, the body of Christ is the fullness of him, Jesus, who filled everything in every way. No relationship could be closer than that of the head and the body. Hallelujah. They are one in vital union and indwell by one spirit. Now it all depends on what spirit it is, but it's by one spirit. The Holy Ghost Spirit, not our spirit, but the Holy Ghost Spirit, amen? The church is also a company of people called out from the world between Pentecost and the rapture, amen? Now, the second degree of the church is the fullness of Christ who fills all in all. This simply means that the church is the complement of Christ, who is everywhere and one at the same time. That's because of the Holy Spirit. He was only limited in Jerusalem to be in certain places, but now we got the Holy Spirit in us, and he's everywhere at all times. Amen. And a complement is that which fills up or complete, which when brought together, it constitutes a whole. Amen. So just as a body is a complement of the head, so the church is the complement of Christ. Amen. So without the head, we can't function right. Amen. But at least anyone should think this implies of imperfection or incompletion on Jesus' side. That's not what it said. It says we complement. Amen. That's why Paul quickly added that the fullness of him who fills all in all. That means from his needed anything to fill any lack of completion. Amen. And the Lord Jesus himself, the one who fills all in all, Christ himself, just like he passed through the universe and supplied it with all it needed, who so wisely and skillfully filled the universe with all material elements necessary for existence, and also how wisely and skillfully infuses his people with the Holy Ghost, amen, with his own character. And so what it does, it this church, it receives and contains the grace and virtue of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, how does this apply to you and me today? I'm so glad you asked. So let me help you. It applies to you and me today because as believers, we are in the church, which is Christ's body, and he is the head. This means that there is a living connection between you and Christ. Physically speaking, since the head controls the body and keeps the body functioning, that means Christ Jesus is our spiritual head. And through the Spirit, he will keep us united to him if we obey him, if we stay in his will, if we walk in his statutes and his commandment, amen, if we love one another, amen. So this means that we share in his resurrection, in his ascension, and his exaltation. We got all of this, y'all. I don't know about you, but I'm glad about it. I understand what he's saying. In order to have his resurrection power that's living inside of us, we have to do something. And then not only that, his ascension, just like he ascended and went back to his Father and sitting on the right-hand side of his Father, we too are sitting there. Amen? And when he was exhausted, we were exhausted. Amen? And we too. Like I said, Ephesians 2 and 6 says, we are seated in heavenly places. I know sometimes it don't feel like it. Sometimes it don't even look like it. But you know something? I don't look and see with my natural eyes. I thank God for that. I had to get there, though. So I look and see in the supernatural. So whether or not I'm sitting in heavenly places, my body tell me I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Whether or not I'm sitting up in heaven, it says that no matter what I'm going through, that I'm okay. No matter what we go through in life, whether or not it's good or bad, long as we look at it from the supernatural, it's all right. Amen? So,
thank you for listening today to Joyful with Prophetess Barbara Herman of Providence Family Ministries, located at 1350 Enterprise Road here in Alexandria, Louisiana. Prophetess Herman has a new book called The Holy Spirit Last Sayings to This Millennial Age, The End of the Beginning. This book, along with other books written by Prophetess Herman, can be purchased at thebookpatch.com or at Amazon.com. Prophetess Herman can be reached at 318-955-7054. After all, we still have joy.
Oh, he's a wonder in my soul.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5.